Real people, real opinions. Nighttime Talk with Niall Boylan.
Ireland's classic hits radio.
Now, I want to move on. And I want to talk about animals. Animals. Should animals have the same rights as human beings? Mind you, judging by some of the rights human beings have had in the last conversation, that wouldn't take much. But it seems like a funny old question, doesn't it? However, did you know that according to the BBC Ethics Guide, which we were looking at a little bit earlier on, animal and human rights boil down to one fundamental right, the right to be treated with respect as an individual with an inherent value. Now, it sounds as if they're suggesting animals and humans are equal, according to the BBC. Charles Darwin had this to say on the topic. There is no fundamental differences between man and the higher mammals in terms of mental faculties. Now, I can certainly think of a few humans who have the same mental faculties as an ape, that's for sure. But tonight I want to throw it out to the crowd once and for all, because there was a case going back in New York. Now, I don't remember the actual ins and outs of the case, but the people, as they call it in America, the people versus, took a case on behalf of a chimpanzee. And the case was that the chimpanzee should have the same rights. The chimpanzee seemingly was in a laboratory being used for animal testing, but that the chimpanzee should have the same rights as a human being. Now, this ended up in the Supreme Court in America. I'm going to say, thankfully, they lost the case. Because if they had have won the case and the Supreme Court of America decided that an animal had the same rights as a human being, I think we're in dodgy territory. Because that means, technically, you couldn't keep a dog in the house. You would have to give it its freedom, because that would be classed as kidnapping. And there are vegans of this world who believe, by the way, by keeping a pet, you're kidnapping the dog or the cat. We couldn't keep animals in zoos. We couldn't eat animals anymore. We couldn't hunt animals. That would be considered murder. We couldn't do any of those things if animals were given the same rights as human beings. And technically, animals would have the right to vote. Do you give a small animal, a mouse, the right to vote? I mean, obviously not. But because they can't. But do you believe, on a point of principle, that animals should have the same rights as us? I mean, after all, we are animals anyway, aren't we? We're the top of the food chain, so they tell me. You wouldn't think it to look at some of the people that run this country and run other countries. But anyway, do you believe that animals should have the same rights as human beings? Let me know what you think. The number, as usual, is 087-188-0008. 087-188-0008. Ben, hi.
Hi, how are you keeping?
Good. Ben, I mean, do animals or should animals have the same rights as human beings?
No, they shouldn't.
What do you say to people who believe they should?
Well, why should they? The fact is that we are mammals that are allowed to have our own thoughts, own expressions, speak, think, progress through life, build environments and everything we do, compared to other mammals that aren't able to do that. So why should they have the same rights as we do?
Well, now, your line is breaking up a little bit. But yes, we are sentient beings, but animals are sentient beings too. You know, like, you know, cows, pigs, dogs, horses.
They can't speak.
Well, hold on. You're saying they can't speak. They can communicate.
But they communicate in a very, like, lower version of what we can do.
How do you know that? How do you know that?
Have you tried to talk to a cow before?
No, because I can't, because I'm a human being. But other cows.
Exactly.
But cows communicate with each other in a very complicated, complex way that we don't really understand.
Have you ever seen a cow build a government before? Have you ever seen a cow build buildings? Have you ever seen none of these animals have the efficiency or ability through speaking or whatever they can do?
But they do. But you're simplifying something here. All animals have a hierarchy. Even bees in a nest have a hierarchy. You've got the worker bees, you've got the queen bees, you've got the honey bees. So there's a hierarchy and there's a system in place, similar to the way we have a hierarchy. It's just very, obviously it's different, but it's a similar system. Ours, obviously, is based on what we see. Now, I'm not suggesting, by the way, that animals should have the same rights as human beings. I'm just giving you the argument here. So firstly, in relation to communication, I think their form of communication is completely different to ours, but I do believe they communicate. We don't know the complexities of their communications because we as human beings don't fully understand that. So to suggest that they don't communicate in the same way as we do is wrong. They do, just differently.
Well, the biggest difference is that we have, yes, they have their level of communication. You know, a cow can move to another cow, whatever they do. But they don't have that intelligence or factor of communication that allows them to progress in the world, whereas human beings do. We are, like, when it comes down to what it actually is, we became the predator that allows for us to control the world.
Do they have a right for us not to kill them? For food, for example?
No, they don't. No.
So we have a right to kill them for food?
We do, yeah.
Do we have a right to use them for medical science?
Yes, we do, yeah.
Okay. How far do you take our right to abuse them?
Well, you take it to the fact that you're not going to abuse an animal in the fact that, you know, you don't beat it up. You know, we farm them. We farm them very well. Because what we need to sustain our health and growth of protein.
So they're a commodity to us, is what you're saying?
They are, completely, yes.
Okay. And you would never suggest at any stage, like the BBC said, animal and human rights boil down to one fundamental right, the right to be treated with a respect as an individual with inherent value. Would you agree with that?
Sorry, say that again?
Okay, the BBC said animal and human rights boil down to one fundamental right, and that is the right to be treated with respect as an individual with inherent value.
Yes, they're entitled to respect as inherent value, yes.
Okay, stay there for a second.
However, okay. I think it needs to be realised that in the end of the day, that we are the humans and we are so much more advanced than they are, that this is what was always going to happen.
We look at, when you say we're advanced, and we are advanced, there's no doubt about that. But mind you, there's probably civilizations probably somewhere out there in some other galaxy that are a lot more advanced than we are. But we're advanced, there's no doubt about that. But when I look at other animals, and when I say even termites, and the way they'll build a termite hill, or mound, as they call it, I mean, that's extremely advanced. But now we don't fully understand that, you know, but it is extremely advanced. The way birds build a nest is extremely advanced. Very few human beings could do what they do. So you might say that's a simpler form of advancement, but it is advanced.
But if you ask a bird about building a government and a political statement and building buildings and a community and financial everything, like our whole structure, they would go, that's miles ahead of what we can do if they could actually speak to us, but they can't.
Mind you, some of the politicians I've seen I've listened to recently. I probably trust the bird quicker, to be honest with you.
A few of the politicians could be building that stuff there because they're that useless. But you know what I mean?
Yeah. Okay, wait, well, hang on. Let me just go to Steve. Steve, hi, how are you?
I bet you already know my opinion on this one.
I don't, actually. I'm guessing. Go on.
Okay. So, here's the thing. I'm not a fan of dogs. I've had dogs in my life. I've had pets before. But because I have a son now, she wanted to get him a dog. So I said, okay, fine. And we went and we got a half-breed Pomeranian with something else. It's like a handbag dog. It's this tiny little yappy thing. But he's only 4 months old. And he's in the room here with me now. If I was to go over, and I'm not saying I would, and I'd never advocate this, and kill him for no reason whatsoever, what would be the difference? There's going to be people coming that would say, that's disgraceful, that's disgusting, why the hell would you do that? And yet they will walk out to their fridge, they will take out their neatly packed steak, and they'll put it on the pan, and they will cook flesh and eat it. The level of hypocrisy, even in that statement from the BBC alone, I mean, for Christ's sake, we're giving animals the same rights as humans? We don't even have rights anymore. We should be talking about the freedom of speech that we're losing every day. We're losing the grounds on this one. And yet, we're more concerned about animals. You know yourself, Niall, from doing these topics, more people get angry about this type of stuff than anything else. I could say, I go over and kill a four-year-old child, and people go, meh. You know, but you say, I go over and kill a four-month-old dog, and they go, how dare he? He's the biggest piece of shit on the face of the earth. Humans are weird. We're screwed up. Not all of us, thank God. Now, I don't give a toss about animals. If somebody's cruel to an animal, not my business. I don't care. If I saw somebody kicking a dog in the arse, wouldn't give a shite. It's not my business. It's a dog. I really, really don't care. The fact of the matter is, I cannot stand the hypocrisy in people. You're going to have people coming on the air tonight that are going to defend animals, and yet they will gladly eat them. They will have them slaughtered, blood drained, their guts taken out, and they will still eat them. Can anybody explain that to me?
I can't explain that hypocrisy, and I'm not going to disagree with that hypocrisy. Of course it exists, because I'm one of those people. I hate the abuse of animals. I'm disgusted by cruelty to animals. And yet, I will happily have a couple of sausage rolls before I go to bed later on this evening. So,
have you ever thought about that, Niall? Have you ever sat down and actually thought about your own hypocrisy?
And it's the same hypocrisy as me not believing in God and celebrating Christmas. So what I'm saying to you is, yes, I agree. I'm a complete and utter hypocrite, as most meat eaters who are appalled by cruelty to animals are. I mean, that documentary that was on RTE there 2 weeks ago about the racehorses, right? It was despicable. It was actually stomach-turning to watch it. It was upsetting to watch how they were treating those horses. And yet, while I was watching it, I had rasher sandwich. Now, I understand the hypocrisy that you're talking about. But get back to what I wanted to ask. The question was, do you believe that animals have rights? Do they have rights?
No, absolutely not. No.
Should I not be allowed to have that rasher sandwich?
Hold on a second. Does a board have a right? A bird that flies in the sky? There's a spider who crawls across the floor? There's a mouse that's in your house? That rhymed. If, you know, do these things have rights? No, they don't. We are the far superior beings. We get into the ocean, Niall, with a great white shark. Do we have rights? No, we don't have rights. That thing's going to eat our ass. And it's as simple as that. We're top of the food chain, and we're top of the food chain for a reason, until we obviously go into the ocean, then we're no longer top of the food chain.
All right, well, hold on, just before I go into the break, because we are all sentient beings, and I want to go to Dennis Nealis, who is from Sentient Rights Ireland. Dennis, hi, how are you?
Hi, Niall, very good, thank you, and thank you for having me on the show.
Thanks for coming on again. I enjoyed our conversation the last time. You've heard Steve, and I can't disagree with what he said. We're all a bunch of hypocrites, you know, because I'm watching that programme on RTE, disgusted about how they're treating racehorses, and meanwhile I'm eating a rasher sandwich. You know what I mean? So that's a bit of hypocrisy, isn't it?
Well, yeah, what we denote that as speciesism, where we, you know, look down on animals and feel superior to them. It's a bit like racism or sexism. And then there's the selectiveness in that some animals are considered utility, you know, that you can have them as domestic animals. Other animals are for food. Other animals are for racing. So that's all part of speciesism and denoting different values to animals. Whereas animals in themselves and of themselves possess moral rights, and it is incumbent upon humans to match those moral rights with rights in law to protect them, their integrity, and their leave them to live their own life as they're supposed to be in nature, and for those who believe in God as God intended. If we look at man-made climate emergency here since 2019, we see that animals in the wild, free-living animals, have not contributed to this a situation of climate crisis. The only species who have done that are humans and cows. The animals that are
they blame the cows. They blame the cows as well, don't they? Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, cows, a cow will produce 50 litres of methane a day, and methane is 80 times more damaging as a greenhouse gas than carbon, and it is active in the atmosphere for about 13 years, so it's done its damage then and reverts to carbon.
Yeah, but they wanted to cull the cows. Should we be culling humans who fart and belch as well? Probably not.
I know there was no ever official mention of culling. That's not true. There was a lot of disinformation put out about it. In fact, up to April last year, 87,000 of the cattle that were slaughtered were dairy cattle. The cattle are being violently slaughtered every year. In fact, we violently slaughter 120 million on average animals here every year across four animal types. So there's no need to cull if we're talking about transitioning from animal-dependent diet to a plant-based diet. We don't need to cull.
Okay. Let's not get into too much into that.
The man will lead the fall off.
Let's not get too much into the climate change debate or argument tonight. And I certainly won't be moving to a plant-based meals or because that's not what I enjoy. But I do want to talk about the cruelty to animals. And this case, I don't know whether you followed it. I don't know whether Steve did. This case in New York, going back, it must have been about 8 or 9 years ago. I vaguely remember talking about it on the radio, where they took a case to the Supreme Court for a chimpanzee who had been used in laboratory testing, a primate. And they took a case to the Supreme Court to argue that the chimpanzee had the same rights as a human being. Now, they lost the case. and the Supreme Court decided it didn't have the same rights, because I think we would be in very dodgy territory to suggest that an animal has the same rights as a human, because then they have the right to vote, they have the right to liberty, which means we'd have to let all the animals free from, you know, wildlife parks and zoos and everything else. So do you believe animals, sentient animals, and they're all sentient to some degree, do you believe they all have the same rights as humans?
Animals carry moral rights already. They carry their own rights. Humans have human rights by virtue of the fact that we're human. This goes back to a long time. This is a philosophical situation going right back to ancient Greece. And if we look at the word animal, by the way, humans are animals. And then you have other animals, which are the non-human animals. The word animal, the root of that word is anima, and that means to breathe. And we know now animals are sentient. We are sentient ourselves. We feel. We have the ability to feel, and we breathe. We're alive. That's what it means to have a soul. So that's where rights come from, that if you have a soul, you have rights. That's why humans have it. And that's what we talk about, the soul in a human. And this is the same exactly with animals. It doesn't matter what animal it is, whether they're primates, whether they're sheep, whether they're dogs. Every animal carries moral rights, and it is incumbent upon us to engage with that and to provide rights in law to protect animals and let them live their own life.
Niall.
Yeah, sorry, just Niall. I just wanted to remind people that particular case, I've just found it here online just while you were yapping there and away. It was back in 2014, so it wasn't too far off the mark when I said about 8 years ago. And it was advocates of legal personhood to a chimpanzee. They lost another battle in the case in New York. So in other words, they wanted the animal to have legal personhood. Okay, sorry, Steve, go ahead.
So, look, that gentleman is throwing around words like morals and integrity. Animals do not have morals nor integrity. They don't have these things, so why should they be afforded the rights of these
things? Who decides they don't have morals? Based on what? What you believe morals are?
Based on observation, Niall. Do you think if a dog attacks another dog, it goes off and feels guilty? No, it doesn't.
But they have a different moral
dogs
code.
No, it's not morals, Niall. That's not, animals don't have morals. And that's based on scientific observation, nor integrity. Now, I would also like to point out that here's an even sillier case. Do we all remember the monkey who took the selfie?
No, remind us.
So a monkey took someone's camera and he took this amazing selfie of himself smiling into the camera. And the owner of the phone and the camera was sued by some group that he wasn't the owner of the picture, that the monkey was. Now, this is the madness that this world is getting into. Now, I don't want to have a bad word to say to that gentleman that's on the air now.
Dennis.
But at the end of the day, Dennis, you know, this world has gone absolutely crazy. And we're concentrating on these stupid things. Now, he may not think it's stupid, but I think it's very stupid. The vast majority of people would think it's stupid that we would be looking at monkeys taking selfies, you know.
But the vast majority of people don't think, you know, that, you know, cruelty to animals is a horrible thing. Most people do believe cruelty to animals is a horrible thing. And the abuse of animals is a horrible thing. But then again, the vast majority of people, as you rightly pointed out, are hypocrites.
Absolutely. And there's hunters out there who have got death threats. Now, think of the idiocy in that. We'll come and kill you because you kill animals. We will kill a member of our own species because you kill another species. And for all of these other people who are driving down the road, an old country road on a summer's day, not that we get a summer, and there's thousands of flies being smushed to your windscreen, you know, do they feel guilty about them? I mean,
I wanted to ask that question just to Dennis just before we go into the break, Dennis. I want to keep Dennis and Steve. I want to keep you both after the break. Dennis, you know, where's the line to a sentient being? Because I don't know where it is. You might know. But, like, is a mouse a sentient being? And if a mouse is a sentient being, is a bee a sentient being? It's an insect, obviously. You know, is an ant a sentient being? I mean, where is the line, Dennis?
Yeah, well, there's different versions and different variations of sentient. Certainly all mammals are sentient in the same way as humans are, and that they feel pain, they experience emotions. There's no question about that. But the point of view of what I'm talking about animals having moral rights, having the moral right to be, this is something they carry. It's an inalienable right. It's in the same line as humans having
given
human
by who?
Rights. that is undeniable. There's no, that cannot, that is irrefutable. That cannot be even argued about.
But who
I can refute it right now.
They are rights holders because they are animals.
Because you said so.
The root of the word animal, the root of the word animal is anima. It means soul.
Yeah, I know exactly what it means. I know exactly what it means.
Okay, I think the point Steve is making is, who decided on those rights, Dennis?
He did.
But
This is a philosophical question. It goes right back to ancient Greece, and this is the basis of civilization. There's also the proposition the gentleman there we're talking to said that, you know, the world has gone mad. Yes, it is gone mad because we have violence on our plate. And when you have violence on your plate, you will
we're
not
nowhere
have
near
peace
as violent as we were before.
You will not have peace in society. That is the fact, and that has been said
until
right
we
back
stop
to,
killing, hoarding animals.
That is right back to the time of Pythagoras. We cannot have a society at peace if there is violence on our plate. That is a simple fact of life.
So until we all become vegetarians, we're never going to have peace. Or vegans, essentially.
Is Dennis vegetarian?
Go vegan. I wouldn't, go straight to vegan. Absolutely. Veganism is a social justice movement. It's a paradigm for peace.
It's also a bit of a cult, isn't it, Dennis?
For a major
Dennis,
change in society.
Is veganism, you know, it's also a little bit of a cult, isn't it?
No, it's not. Indeed, it's not a cult. It is a social justice movement, and it's based on the fact that
it's
you have respect for animals, and you have respect for humans, and you have respect for the earth itself.
So, just before we go to the break, Steve, what are you saying about it? You said it's a violent social justice movement.
Yes, it is, because these people have been violent towards other human beings. Like I said, hunters who have been targeted by these people. So he's talking about getting rid of violence when these group of people themselves are violent. You know, you've seen these climate change idiots in the UK blocking up traffic, animals rights people trashing works of art. Like, it's just, these people are gone crazy. They're trying to protect the rights of something that he is saying has morals just because he said they have morals. It's a silly notion.
Okay, well, stay there, both of you, if you can, because I got to go to break, and I want Dennis to respond to that after the break. The number is 087-188-0008. We're talking about the rights of animals. And do you believe animals have the same rights or should have the same rights as human beings? And I'm looking at some of your texts coming in, and obviously you're a lot of animal lovers, and I get that. And people are saying, yes, Niall, we shouldn't be using animals in laboratories. We shouldn't be using animals for testing medication. We shouldn't be using... Okay, that's fine then. Let's not use them. And then let's not have, you know, the advancements in medication that we might have. And people would argue that we don't have advancements because of animals. I will argue, and other experts would argue that we do. That we've tested a lot of medication on animals. And I know that I'm exactly the same as human beings. But for example, doctors or surgeons will practice on pigs. Usually dead ones, mind you. Let me know what you think. The number is 087-188-0008. We still, by the way, in our colleges over in this country, we still use a lot of rabbits and mice and rats on a yearly basis, thousands of them, to practice on for science. Do you agree with that, medical science? Let me know. 087-188-0008. Let me just go back to Dennis if I can. Sorry, Dennis. Oh, where are we going there? Oh, yeah, sorry. There. Dennis, just in relation to veganism, people have a lot of questions coming in there at the moment. Some people, by the way, say meat eating is the cult. But in relation to veganism, for example, we've heard the stories of the, you know, the deforestation and the forests in Brazil, in particular places in the Amazon region, being taken down to grow soya because of the increase in the consumption of soya in the world because of the increase of vegans. Is that...
Since the soya production goes to feed farmed animals, in fact, over 50% of all grain grown, and particularly in the Amazon area, goes to feed the 100 billion farmed animals worldwide. Ireland, for example, imports 5 million tons of grain every year from all over the world, but mostly from Argentina and Brazil. And some of that is soya and the ubiquitous palm oil, and this is genetically modified, and it's brought in here to feed farmed animals. This is a direct result of deforestation and clearing the rainforest in the Amazon area of Brazil. As well as that, Niall, it's very important to note here that over 2,000 indigenous land defenders have been murdered in Brazil trying to protect their own land. And that's from the logging. And then after that, we get the monocrop production and ranching that moves in there. So if you're consuming animal products here in Ireland, you not only have animal blood on the plate, but you also have human blood. So I would ask everybody to desist. to stop supporting this industry. It is out of control. There is no one needs to consume any animal products to survive.
Okay, well, that's your argument. There are many doctors and other doctors out there who disagree with you that not every human being can sustain themselves without the proteins, the amino acids, etc. they would get from an animal, that they would have to take supplements for that.
All amino acids come from plants. That's where aminos okay. Start on.
Now, I can get experts on to disagree with you on that matter. I'm not an expert, so
that's irrefutable. That's where the animals
it's not irrefutable. There's no evidence, by the way, that vegans live longer than human beings. Or vegans live longer than meat eaters, sorry. There's no evidence for that.
There is definitely evidence that shows that a plant-based diet is a much healthier diet. If we look at...
Dennis, that's not true. Everything in moderation. If you're over-consuming meat, it's not good for you, particularly red meat. It's not good for you.
Why would you do that?
You shouldn't do that. No more than you should over-consume any plant-based food.
Yeah, red meat from that's the flesh of a cow, a pig, or a sheep. They're carcinogenic A2.
That's been debunked, by the way. You do realise, Dennis, that's been debunked, that argument.
No, it's not been debunked.
Okay. All right.
The World Health Organization position since 2015. In addition,
and you
to
do
that,
you do know who wrote that particular report for the World Health Organization? It was actually a vegan.
In addition, that
argument has been disproven so many times
in
this day.
It has not been disproved. If you look at the situation with processed animal-derived products, for example, bacon, all the deli meats, and sausages, they are all carcinogenic A1. The three biggest killers we have on the planet are heart disease, cancer, and lung disease. And consuming animal products has a part to play in every one of those. These are preventable diseases, and by moving to a plant-based diet, a whole food plant-based diet, you can prevent those diseases. There's no question about that.
Okay, I'm reading an article here from the World Health Organization that says, eating red meat has not yet been established as a cause of cancer. However, if the reported associations were proven to be casual, the Global Burden of Disease Project has estimated that the diets high in red meat could be responsible for 50,000 cancer deaths per year worldwide. In other words, in association with doing other things. It says, and it's, I'm just quoting it there, eating red meat, this is from the World Health Organization website, eating red meat has not yet been established as a cause of cancer.
Carcinogenic A2 means it's probably carcinogenic A1.
Okay. I'm just telling you what their website, you just said to me 5 minutes ago, the World Health Organization says it causes cancer. I'm telling you on their own website, it says it doesn't.
If you do the playback, I said it's carcinogenic A2 for red meat. That's the meat, that's the flesh of a cow, pig or sheep. That's A2. That means probably. What's carcinogenic A1 is definitely, and that's processed.
With the greatest respect, Dennis, it's probably going to be sunny tomorrow. I don't know whether it will or not. You know what I mean? Well, so I'm just telling you what they say on the website. Let's not get hung up on words.
This carcinogenic A1 is the same bracket as cigarette smoking, and it is the same bracket as exposure to asbestos.
You're telling me eating red meat is as dangerous as smoking?
No,
or as risky as causing cancer.
Niall, we've already established red meat is carcinogenic A2. I'm talking about processed animal-derived products, for example.
I'm saying using the analogy that eating red meat, just like you said, just like smoking, causes cancer. Using that analogy.
That's not what I said. I said processed animal products.
Okay.
We're getting hung up on it now. A different classification. It is carcinogenic A1.
Okay, thank you for establishing that. We're getting hung up on it. Martin, sorry, you wanted to say something, Martin, just in relation to what Dennis says. Martin, I do agree with Dennis in a sense that we have to treat animals with respect. I do agree somewhat with the BBC statement that animals and human rights boil down to one fundamental right, the right to be treated with respect as an individual with inherent value. But that's where I draw the line. Obviously, I'm a meat eater. Dennis is not. He's a vegan. And he believes that animals deserve the same rights, you know, not to be eaten, not to be slaughtered, not to be murdered or on your plate, because he considers that to be violence on a plate.
Good evening, Niall. Good evening, Dennis. Good evening, Steve.
He's gone. Steve is gone. Dennis is there.
Steve is gone. Okay. Well, if he's still listening, good evening, Steve. My point of view on this is animals don't have the same rights as humans. Inherently, they don't have those rights. We afford those rights to animals. They do have value. There's no two ways about that. They have a value. Nobody, no matter who you are, has the right to needlessly inflict pain or suffering on an animal. Now, when it comes to it, the issue of sentience was mentioned earlier on, and the ability to communicate. Now, any botanist today can tell you plants communicate with each other. They communicate by virtue of chemicals and pheromones that are transferred. You know, if someone goes into a forest and starts cutting down trees, other trees actually go into stress when that's happening. Now, does that mean that plants have inherent rights that are the same as humans? And if you extend that, then we're going to end up with people who will argue that AI has the same rights as humans. I don't believe any of that.
That's coming down the road in about 10 years of Elon Musk in his way.
Well, Niall, it may be 10 years, but I guarantee you that is coming. And it is nonsense. It's ludicrous in the same way I regard the idea that there are more than two genders as nonsense. But the whole thing comes down to, for me, if an animal has human rights, inherent with rights are responsibilities. Now, if a bull gores a human to death, or a snake bites a human and causes death, are the state going to turn around and lock up that bull for 20 years, or that snake for 20 years? No, they're not, because it's accepted that's what a bull or a snake will do. They may put the bull down, they may put the snake down, I don't know. But this is, it's just more nonsense. It really is. And all these issues about, you know, vegans and vegans in particular, they add in all these things about cancer and everything else. I agree to a very high degree. I agree about, you know, highly processed foods.
Yes. I think I would agree with that.
I've no argument with any of that. But if I go out and shoot a pheasant or a pigeon and take that home and cook it, an animal that's lived in the wild, fed in the wild, had a good life, and I take that home and consume that creature, for me, it's just part of the circle of life.
Okay, we'll just let Dennis respond to that. Dennis, it's the circle of life. That's just part of, we're part of the food chain, I suppose, is what Martin is saying.
Well,
you know,
you're not alive if you've been shot. Anyway, my premise is not that animals have the same rights as humans. Animals have a right to animal rights in the same way humans have a right to human rights. We're not talking about the same rights here. So the premise of that gentleman trying to say that's what I'm saying is not true. That's what the debate point of the show is, Niall, if you care to reiterate it. But that's not the point that I'm making. Also, in terms of nature rights, there is a move to put give nature rights in law, in that this should be put into the Constitution, because we have plundered the earth. And this is why a lot of the climate crisis is indeed an environmental crisis. In if we look at the state of our fresh water, our rivers, we look at the oceans, all the trash that's in it, as well as the climate crisis, it's an environmental disaster that's unfolding. We see animal agriculture expanding now to, if we look at the mammals by mass, 96% of mammals by mass are either human or farmed animals. There's only 4% of mammals by mass left in the wild. So we can see the imbalance there. That is a frightening statistic, and we need to pull back from that. If we don't, we are heading for destruction. The climate crisis cannot be solved by reducing transitioning from fossil fuel to renewable energy. We also need to transition from animal farming to plant farming. If we look at the grant system here in Ireland, animal farming attracts 83% of all available farm grants, but it is not providing any human with 83% of their nutrients. It is less than 40, it's around 36% on average. And we have to import 80% of all our fruit and veg. Now, everybody needs to eat fruit and veg. And yet, the value of what we export, that's after the violent slaughter of 120 million farmed animals, the value of the nutrient value of what we export is less than the nutrient value of what we import. So instead
Dennis, sorry for interrupting you, I have very little time left, but a lot of the fruits and the vegetables that we eat, well, mainly the fruit that we eat, we couldn't grow in this country anyway.
We could grow almost everything here in Ireland, and we could certainly...
Grapes,
if we look at the model of...
Strawberries,
we
do grow strawberries
model,
in Paris. Yeah.
If we look at the Denmark model, Denmark have now, the government in Denmark are offering their growers adequate and ample grant money to start growing, and we have an uptake in Denmark of 76%.
You've seen the reaction of Irish farmers and farmers across Europe to the nature restoration laws, and you've seen the reaction. I mean, they don't want their livelihoods to be destroyed, dairy farmers and meat farmers. Sorry, Martin, you've listened to what Dennis said. I've literally got 2 minutes left. You know, we need to move to change. You know, we need to stop plundering the planet. We need to change to plant farming rather than dairy farming, although I heard insect farming mentioned a while ago as well. I'm not eating mealworms. That's the end of it. But I mean,
nor am I.
No. Do you see a future where there is no animal farming, Martin?
No, I don't. Well, I could get into a whole different area when it comes to health, my beliefs spiritually, the whole lot. Leave all that aside. For the moment, no, I don't. And I think Dennis is speaking from two separate podiums. He's speaking as I'm getting that he's a vegan, and then he's talking about all the problems. I absolutely agree with him. There are numerous problems, but you cannot conflate the problems there are into the rights of animals as individuals or as a collective.
Okay.
When I look in the sky and I see a flock of birds, all, you know, they're moving in the same direction, starlings or whatever, yes, there's communication there, there's a degree of sentience. Does that mean that they have the same rights, the same inherent, you know, rights that a human being has? No, because they don't have to follow a moral code. I know there are many, many, many people in the world who don't follow the moral code that I would follow, or any kind of a decent moral code. But that does not mean that animals have an inherent, you know, the inherent rights that a human being has. As I said, and Steve made a very valid point. I don't often agree with Steve, but I think he was absolutely bang on tonight. If a shark kills somebody in the ocean, are you going to prosecute that shark? No, you're not. It's ridiculous. It's nonsense.
Okay, on that note, Dennis, I'll let you have the final word because I have to finish up. Go ahead, Dennis.
Yeah, for the record, I'm not advocating for the same rights. Animals have animal rights. Humans have human rights. And by the way, humans kill millions upon millions of sharks, and sharks kill about 6 or 7 humans a year. So let's get this in perspective. The most species that do the killing on this earth are humans. We kill ourselves, we kill other humans, and we kill animals.
True.
So let's pull away from all that. Let's get this new paradigm and make the earth a beautiful place to live for everybody, and take the violence out of that so people can walk around the street and not be accosted. Let's get moving on this.
Okay,
it will help everybody. Veganism is a social justice movement that will help animals, it will help humans, and it will help the earth itself. I want to thank you, Niall, for having me on. Thanks to Martin and to Steve as well.
Thank you very much indeed, Martin. And thank you, Dennis, as well, by the way. Always acceptable of good, robust debate. By the way, just before we go, Dennis, I just spotted an article there. If you want to, maybe you take a look at it yourself. It's from a publication called Big Think. And it says,
yep.
Study slams lazy research. In a new unprecedented effort, scientists at the University of Washington's Institute for Health Metrics and Evaluation, the IHME, scrutinized decades of research on red meat consumption and its links to various health outcomes, formulating a new rating system to communicate health risks. The process. The findings mostly dispelled any concerns about eating red meat. They said, and I quote, "We find weak evidence of association between unprocessed red meat consumption and a correlation to cancer, breast cancer, type 2 diabetes, and heart disease."
Now, real people, real opinions. Nighttime Talk with Niall Boylan.
Ireland's classic hits radio.